Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Chasing Big Joe with you. Usually on Wednesdays, that's when we talk to John McClain, but he's joining us a day early because he's going to be traveling. John joins us now. John, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Appreciate the time as always. Let's start with the big news that came out that both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they have re-upped with the Cincinnati Bengals. Chase is now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. T. Higgins getting a nice deal as well. So they have long-term deals with the quarterback and their top two wide receivers. But when you look at this Bengals team, is it basically going to be score 35 after giving up 34?
They finished last season, I think, a five-game winning streak, but they notoriously start slow. Joe Burrow starts slow. I love seeing the Bengals spend money because they're notorious for being one of the cheapest teams in the league. And Burrow campaigned for this so much, and he did it publicly. And Mike Brown and his family came up with the money. Now they got to get Trey Hendrickson, he's under contract, so he could hold out if he wanted to. But boy, you got a guy 17 and a half sacks leading the NFL. You do not want to lose him. And I think they'll get it done. The Bengals are showing me something I have never seen, a willingness to spend a lot of money to try to win. And you know their fans are fired up. And I do not believe they will let trade Trey Hendrickson because he's just too valuable to what they have on defense. They have a new defensive coordinator. If I'm the fans up there, I'm thinking, okay, Baltimore's going to be favored in the AFC North, and it's the Bengals, not the Steelers, certainly not the Browns, who are going to put the most heat on them is to try to dethrone them as division champions.
Yeah, and when I look at Cincinnati, and you're right, they've been one of the cheapest teams in NFL history. But you know, Mike Brown's obviously not getting any younger. I mean, is this the window? Are they looking at this is the window where we got to win a Lombardi?
Well, as long as you got a quarterback, I don't think there's anything as a window. You know, as the players get older, sometimes teams will hang on veterans that have been productive too long. That's what happened to the Cowboys under Tom Landry. He was too loyal to a lot of players he should have gotten rid of a couple of years before. And Joe Burrow, I guess he takes great care of himself. You can see him playing into his 40s. So I think once they all, you know, get closing in on 35 maybe. But right now people are pumped in Cincinnati about what Mike Brown is showing.
Oh, absolutely. Talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, I have to stick with the best stories of this offseason. The Texans signed Derek Stingley to the largest contract ever for a cornerback, for a defensive back. And obviously, you know, what happened to his grandfather, you know, with the Patriots and paralyzed during a game. I just think this is a really good story because by all accounts, this young man is a good man, and to see it all happening right now is really cool. It's a great story, John.
It is a great story. Everybody was frustrated his first 2 years. He was the third overall pick. Sauce Gardner went fourth. Sauce Gardner was Defensive Rookie of the Year. And next year it was Will Anderson Jr. And Stingley played 9 and 8 games because of hamstring injuries. Then he came back last year, and he was fantastic. He played as well or better than any cornerback I've covered in my 49 years of covering the NFL. And he is a really good guy. He's very quiet. I wish he was a better talker. I watch him. I don't know if he's intimidated by the media or what, because he's certainly not shy with his teammates. And that'll last, highest paid defensive player, highest paid non-quarterback. It changes weekly because players are getting so much money, and I'm all for them getting every penny they can get because the owners cut them under contract all the time. But it's money well spent by the Texans. They knew they were going to do it. It's one reason they traded Laremy Tunsil. They were not going to extend him after this season when he'll be 32 next season. So they got it done. And next year, I don't know if they'll do Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. or if they'll do Stroud first, but both are eligible after 3 years. And when Deshaun Watson was eligible for his extension, they did it after 3 years. So one reason, when you see a team stockpiling draft choices, it's a pretty good idea. They know they're going to need a lot of young players on their first contracts so they can, you know, make room for the big ones.
Oh, yeah. John, let me ask you this. You've covered the league a long time. Do you remember that? Because I think it was a preseason game in 77 or 78 when his grandpa was hit by Jack Tatum. Do you remember all that and the kind of the after effects of what happened?
I was covering the NFL, and the guy that hit Derek Stingley was Jack Tatum, who ended his career with the Oilers. People see the play today. Stingley lowered his head over the middle. Tatum, who was known as the toughest, roughest player in the NFL. You don't say dirty because there's really no such thing as dirty back then. You could get away with anything.
Right.
Can you imagine a defensive lineman grabbing Patrick Mahomes, picking him up like it's WWE, and slamming him to the ground? Oh. He used to do that legally. You could hit him in the head coming across the middle with a padded forearm. You could go for the knees. You could do anything like that. And not only was he not fined, Tatum was not penalized. And it was a preseason game, and Stingley was paralyzed the rest of his life. And Jack Tatum, when he came to the Oilers, I did a big story about him in 1980 preseason, about what he went through after that, knowing that he had paralyzed a guy. So, yeah, that was a big deal. And Derek Stingley Jr., he doesn't talk much about it. His dad's more likely to talk about it. And but he's not a great player to interview, but he is a great player to watch.
Love it.
Yes, he is, for sure. We will have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, continuing our conversation with the great John McClain. John, I saw on Twitter earlier today, and I can't believe this, that it's been 3 years since longtime NFL reporter John Clayton passed away, and obviously we all know him from ESPN and his time in Seattle. How much interaction did you have with him over the years?
I knew John very well. I used to see him at the league meetings in March, at the Combine, and at the draft. And then, of course, when he was covering the NFL and not the Seahawks, most of the time he covered the Seahawks, except late in his career. And when he was at ESPN, he made one of the all-time great commercials, screaming at his ma. And, boy, when I think about all the writers, Don Banks from Sports Illustrated, Steve Schoenfeld from Phoenix, they're just, as I get older, more and more gone. None is missed more than John Clayton.
Yeah, he was always great with us. You know, as when I was starting my career, he was one of the first that I'd reach out to get on, and couldn't have been nicer. So, obviously, missing John Clayton 3 years after his passing. Now, you have been coming on this show and been very, very steadfast that the Titans are taking a quarterback number one overall. Now it seems like everybody is starting to agree with you. But when you look at that offensive line, you look at some of the moves that they've made – to me, they're all pointing in that direction, that they're gearing up to have a young quarterback, and especially with the O-line, they want to protect him. Is that what you're seeing too?
Absolutely. You know, you don't get the number one pick and have a desperate need at quarterback without quarterback unless they're clearly not worth it. And I read some of these experts, and I trust a lot of them. One of them I saw this week has Shedeur Sanders rated as a second rounder. I'd be shocked as Cam Ward rated like 10th. Give me a break. And I talked to a guy this yesterday who knows Cam Ward really well and was talking about his personality, how hard he works, how he came from nowhere here when he was a zero-star recruit. And it, you don't go from zero to being the first pick in the draft without being smart and without being an incredible worker and an incredible learner. And he's improved every season. That is the mark of the kind of player you want. He doesn't have to have a cannon arm. You know, he's got to be accurate. Today, they like him to be mobile. He has everything you want, and he's going to keep getting better.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, a couple weeks ago, Chase and I had Jeff Fisher on the show for a little bit, and we talked about having that number one pick. Remember, they got in 2016. They traded with the Titans. And he was like telling us, he's like, you know, when we acquired that pick, we were going to go after Jared Goff. He goes, but people were still sending us offers and talking to us up until the last second, on and on and on and on and on. And I found it fascinating, John, when you have that number one pick, what teams will throw at you. The Giants need a quarterback. Could you see them somehow, some way, offering up the farm for the Titans to move up to number one?
No, I don't think, number one, if you're going to go from 3-1, you don't offer the farm. You do that when you're like the Carolina Panthers and you go from 9th to 1. And I think that might scare somebody off right there. And there's no guarantee Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders. And it just depends on what they like. But I cannot see a situation where the Titans do not take a quarterback. And because if they do, what is their alternative? Will Levis? They're trying to turn the team around when they're moving into the new stadium and everything's going to be more expensive. And to get people to spend, you got to give them hope and optimism. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't. Just the idea of taking a quarterback number one, you got 2-3 years for him to show some progress. He's played enough in different systems. He's played in 3 different systems, Cam Ward has. And I think that's good because he showed he can adapt, adjust to whatever they're teaching him, new teammates, new system. I think Brian Callahan would like working with him a lot unless they pull a fast one and take Shedeur Sanders, which I don't think they will. But this team has got to give, like I said, hope and optimism because when you move into a new stadium, if you're really down, like Bud Adams picked a time to try to get a new stadium here when the Oilers were coming off a 2-14 season. And you talk about bad timing, that was the worst timing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. John, all right, so now we wait on Aaron Rodgers because that's the domino in the crystal ball. Where do you think he goes, John? Is there the slight possibility that he says he's done?
I can't imagine if he was going to say he's done, why wouldn't he have said it while he's down there walking on the beach in Australia with a black towel or cape or whatever around him, you know, studying life. And I don't understand Minnesota's plan. He wants to go to the Vikings. If the Vikings take him, are they going to play him over J.J. McCarthy? If that was the case, why didn't they just keep Sam Darnold? His 3-year deal, the Seahawks can get out of it after 1 year. I also don't understand why money would be an issue with Rodgers when he's made over $300 million. And I'd like to see him get stuck with the Giants. It'd be a great story because they're awful, and he might wish that he had played for the minimum for the Steelers or the Vikings, but he's going to be the immediate starter in Pittsburgh, so why wouldn't he want to go play for Mike Tomlin?
Oh, I totally agree. And I just think it's funny, John, because the path he's on if he signs for the Vikings is the exact same path of the guy that has always tried to get out from under his shadow, Brett Favre. That's why I kind of hope he goes to the Vikings because that narrative continues on right now. But I'm with you. The Steelers is the slam dunk for him.
Yeah, I thought Daniel Jones might re-sign with them, and because there's no guarantee J.J. McCarthy's going to be real good right off the bat. He hasn't played. He's a second year, could have a sophomore slump and growing pains, and he could get hurt. You might wish that you had a veteran quarterback, and Darnold knew the system, so it's just very curious what's going on there and why he would want to go there without a guarantee of being the starter when he could go to Pittsburgh and get that guarantee for a coach who doesn't have losing records, which means he's always going to compete for the playoffs.
Amen. I'm with you 100% on that. John, as always, thank you. It's the best segment every week being with you. I appreciate you. Have fun in Vegas, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much, as always. I look forward to it.
All right, John McClain joins us every, usually Wednesday, had to switch to Tuesday this week because he's going to Vegas out there. All right, we'll take a break. We're live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up next, 9 years ago today, I consider it the greatest upset in college basketball NCAA tournament history. Happened 9 years ago today, and the guy that was on the call that game will join us next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.